Welcome back to another episode of High Time for True Crime. I'm Catherine.
And I'm Khadijah, and we are continuing on with Lorena. Where we left off, Lorena had basically turned herself in. John has his dick sewn back onto his body. She just did the Vanity Fair article, and it did not really go well in her favor. A lot of people said she sounded unarticulated, and she just sounded not smart. And, I mean, there's a language barrier there, and she's just, you know, kind of naive. She doesn't really know what to expect from the American media.
Yeah, it's all just spiraled down. We end up hearing in the next few minutes, like, from some neighbors that were around at the time.
Yes. And the first thing we hear is pretty much that she decided to speak without legal representation to detectives, and this is what she told them.
At a preliminary hearing this morning, a Prince William County police detective read from a statement Lorena Bobbitt made.
When I was at the hospital, I needed to talk to a detective, and that was Detective Wins. I should have just got an attorney. I didn't know any better.
Then I was angry already, and I turned my back, and the first thing I saw was the knife. Then I said, I asked him if he was satisfied with what he did, and he just half asleep or something. He always have orgasm, and he doesn't wait for me to have an orgasm.
Okay, if you or anyone you know is listening to this podcast, if anything pops off, you need to lawyer up. Yes. I don't care what happened, if you're guilty, if you're not, lawyer
up. Well, especially if you're guilty, you might as well lawyer up.
Definitely, but if you're guilty, lawyer up.
If you're innocent, you should definitely lawyer up, especially because you will be... I mean, if you just speak to the cops freely, they can take anything you say and hold it against you.
They will make the crime fit you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So Lorena basically had no clue what was going to happen next. She didn't know that what she said would harm her. She was just pretty much telling her story. She was like, my husband's been abusing me for years. Yes, I cut his dick off, but it's because I'm literally suffering by his hand every single day, and he raped me, and that's why I cut his penis off that night. So Lorena saying that, after John came home from the club with his friend Robbie, when he was fucked up, he came home and raped her. And that was, well, afterwards, she went to the kitchen, grabbed the knife, and
we all know what happened next.
Yeah. So after Lorena's arraignment, John was brought up on charges of sexual abuse. And of course, he's denying all of the rape and abuse, quote unquote, allegations.
John Bobbitt surrendered to authorities here while the media's attention was focused on his wife's hearing. He was released on $5,000 bond, and he'll return to the same courthouse tomorrow morning for his arraignment on the charge of marital sexual abuse.
Yeah, I hurt to walk, so I mean, I was just recovering still. You know, I haven't got hit with a charge of rape that I didn't do, marital rape or abuse, and why?
Whenever they talk to John, it's always like he's speaking in fragments, and it's because he's drunk. Like, no person speaks this way. He's just like, and I was brought up on charges, and I just
didn't know. I don't really remember.
And,
I don't remember.
Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, just shut up, honestly. We could have saved a lot more time in this documentary to talk to other people, because he's non-coherent. He's just an idiot. And he's just like, I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't, I don't know why I'm accused of these charges. And
takes a big gulp from his giant.
Yeah. Head. And I'm just like, you know what you've done. Don't try to play stupid. There's plenty of proof, and we will get to that proof. But the next person that we meet is Paul Ebert, and he is the district attorney. The district attorney. I mean, he's been alive for eternity.
Yeah.
But he's the district attorney for presiding over this case, and this is a little introduction into what he's all about.
He's a man who spends a great deal of time hunting and fishing. He's an outdoorsman. He's a man who was appointed to be the Commonwealth Attorney at the age of 30. That was the youngest of anyone to become a Commonwealth Attorney in the history of the state of Virginia.
Paul Ebert is a pretty amazing guy. He's been doing it a long time.
Before the sniper case came along, I said I'm known as the penis prosecutor. Quite a claim to fame.
And, you know, he's a sharp guy. He comes across as sort of this, you know, I'm just a country lawyer kind of attitude.
I love Paul. He's just like this dirty old man.
He speaks like Boomhauer from fucking King of the Hill.
I was a penis prosecutor.
And I'm just like, okay, the first things that we learn about him. He likes hunting. He likes fishing. He likes doing this and that. He's an outdoors man, and he's an upstanding guy.
I wanted to dislike him, Jesus. But once he started talking, I don't know. He's funny.
He was just like, and they were like, can we take a picture of you? And he's like, you can take a picture of everything else.
But my dick. Penis.
And I'm just like, Paul, we're not trying to look at your penis. We've already seen enough dick pics in this whole entire documentary.
Paul, there's probably not enough Viagra in the
world. And he's funny. He's a character. And the music behind it is just like so do 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 do, like just.
I just want Netflix and Amazon and everybody else to know that you don't have to always have interlude music.
No,
please, God. Us ADHD people are begging you, please.
It is funny because, like, this one, this documentary, they do it really well because they pretty much, like, set the tone of what's going on. I think the music is really good in this.
It's way better than Three Identical Strangers. But
Three Identical Strangers just had, like, lulls of just, like,
weird interludes of Elton John playing between things that didn't go together.
And, like, and just, like, nothingness in between. But we then get to meet John's lawyer, Greg Murphy. And, just roll the clip.
After meeting with John, that's when my decision as to whether I would take on the representation changed. When I met him, John had scrape marks of nail marks straight down his face that had occurred 2 weeks before that. And John not earning much of a living, he's the dependent one in this relationship. We had a psychological test done on John. And John is not capable of really telling a lie because he doesn't handle, he can't do the complexity that's required to make to sell a lie, if you will.
So the fact that Greg thinks that John is unable to tell a lie or sell a lie because it's too complex, wouldn't you think that it wasn't even complex with him refuting doing the abuse.
Also, if he's not able to tell a lie, then I don't think he's quite able to tell the truth either.
Yeah, I was like, what are you saying? It's too complex for John to put a lie, so you're telling us that he's an idiot. Well, we already know that he's an idiot. But I was like, if anything, people would say that Lorena is lying because it's a complex lie. John is just refuting that she was, you know, abused by him. He's not saying anything else.
No.
That's it. So I don't think it's that complex for him to say, no, I didn't abuse Lorena.
Also,
she's just jealous.
Yeah, but also, you know, I do appreciate that he's rooting him for filth a bit here and pointing out the fact that Lorena was the one working to support them.
Yes.
John had been in the military and everything.
In the Marines. And he literally, they bought a house right after he got out of the Marines, and it foreclosed very, very shortly after because they're living on Lorena's fucking nail salary.
Yeah.
And she was literally trying to scrape and, like, pinch, you know, money together just so they can live an affordable, you know, life. But John literally could not hold a job down because he's a fucking alcoholic. And she is doing her best. She even had to resort to stealing. And they bring that up later on. We'll get into that. But really, I honestly do not believe that Lorena, a really small, 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 frail woman, was able to beat the shit out of John.
No.
Really? He's a fucking Marine. He's a Marine. After he rambled on for like 20 minutes about how physically fit he is.
Yeah, I like contact sports and I was in the military, but that doesn't make me aggressive person.
And I was like, so you're telling me that Lorena has basically made sure that he doesn't have a job, that he's not able to see his friends or whatever, and that she's separating him so that she can abuse him. I don't believe that shit for a fucking second. I don't believe that shit for a second.
No.
And the next thing that we get to hear is basically the history of abuse between the two of them and the police having to be called for multiple reasons.
One of the facts that impressed me the most was that the police had been called 3 or 4 times in their relationship. 3 of those times John had called them. And the 4th time, Lorena's mother was actually there. It was over Thanksgiving. And Lorena called the police at that time. Police came, and the mother said that her daughter was the cause of it all, not John. John was the one who was being battered.
So John and Lorena are pretty much pointing fingers at each other. And to the police officer, the people doing the investigation, neither one of them sounds that credible because of the fact that they're just kind of refuting each other. And John is accused of marital rape, which we learn that there are some fucking archaic guidelines to classify marital rape. Just here are some of the few. There has to be physical damage. They have to have been separated while the marital rape has occurred. So those are some pretty fucked up things to say and to basically just victim blame and say that you can't go through marital rape because you're married to him and you basically belong to him. You're his property, so he can do whatever he wants with you. But I was like, if it was the other way around, they probably would say the same thing because men kind of tend to lean more towards, well, I mean, I would be lucky if a woman would try to rape me, and which is disgusting. And I hate whenever they're just like, well, whenever it's a woman that does it, they get praise, and whenever it's a man that does it, then they get thrown away and like the key is like literally burned and like everybody is just like, fuck him. And I'm like, it's not our fault. It's the patriarchy's fault. And also your fellow brethren that are just, you know, hanging out with you, they're just like, well, I wanted to be raped when I was 14 years old. And I'm like, you don't even understand the implications of what it is like to have someone prey upon you.
Yeah, no.
When you're younger. Just because it's a woman, because a guy has sexual urges, doesn't mean that he wants it.
No. I also think it's important to note that they're both toxic in this situation.
Yes.
It's not that we're, like, taking sides by any means. Obviously,
no.
John has,
he has
a lot more to do with it. But what Lorena did is still questionable, but it's just, we see
there's
toxicity. It needs
to go through the court system.
Yeah, we see there's toxicity on both sides.
Yes. And, I mean, the fact that she has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he actually was raping her and that she wasn't consenting to the sex every single time. Because they're just like, well, why didn't you had sex with him one day, you said that he raped you, and then you had consensual sex with him the next day. And she's just like, yes, because if I say no to him, I'm afraid of what he will do to me.
Yeah,
because
he's
not only
raping
me.
I'm going to end up having to be subjected to it either way, so
yeah.
I might as well act like I want to be involved.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, they pretty much lessen John's charge, and they ultimately charge him with malicious sexual assault, which means that he's basically facing up to 20 years in prison instead of facing a life sentence. And so 2020 reaches out to John's lawyer, Greg, and Greg is just like, what's going on? And they're telling him that we're going to run a story about this case. And he's begging them to not run the story until after John's trial, because it literally was the Friday before John's trial. And they said, nope, we're going to get these views. And it was pretty much 2020 starring Lorena and telling her side of the story. And this is what we get to hear.
Well, in an exclusive interview with Tom Jarrell, Lorena Bobbitt, the woman who did the unthinkable, gives some answers.
What kind of a woman could strike out in such a shocking way? What had driven her to such abhorrent behavior?
Mrs. Bobbitt claims that throughout their marriage, her husband had forced sex on her again and again and again.
I scream at him before because I didn't want to have sex and because I felt like he wasn't right.
Did you ever think he might kill you?
Yes.
Bobbitt's attorney, Gregory Murphy, said John will voice his defense only in testimony at the trial and not to 2020.
Did you ask him specifically, Mr. Bobbitt, did you beat your wife?
Absolutely, I asked him.
And what did he say?
Absolutely denied.
There was this portrait being painted of John, and I thought the longer they did not hear from John, the more interested I hope the jury would be in finding out his side of the story.
So basically after this point, we get a bunch of random rambling, especially as it pertains to John, who I could care less about at this point.
And they're just trying to spin the story because the 2020 came out and Lorena was telling nothing but truth and she was spitting all kinds of facts. And this is like the first time that the media is actually paying attention and giving Lorena a, you know, spotlight to voice what she went through that night. And I think 2020 did them justice for sure, because they were able to just like sit there and listen and just kind of get into the mindset of what was happening behind closed doors.
I'm glad you didn't say get into the meat, but I had to.
I'm not acknowledging this. But we get John's friends. I don't even know if they're really friends with him anymore.
They're all named John.
John doesn't seem like he has any friends, but they're
rambling. That big gulp. Seems like his best friend.
Honestly. But they're just rambling about, like, how physically fit John is and how he was a Marine and blah, blah, blah.
So I'm like, homoerotic. I'm like, why weren't you married to John then?
Yeah, I'm like, where are we going with this? This makes no sense. Also, this is not what we want to talk about. This has nothing to do with the issues between him and Lorena. And
if anything, it's just making me realize what kind of dude he was, which is exactly everything I dislike in a dude.
He has no substance.
No.
He has no purpose. He has no purpose except for to make other people miserable, honestly, because he feels miserable inside.
Because he had nothing else going for him, that's why it mattered so much to find his penis.
And
he
wasn't working. She was the only one that was working. She was providing for them. And she's the one that thought that she was going to be able to come to America, find a nice husband. They both work. He probably, you know, he has a great job. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got kicked out of the Marines, honestly, for not being able to handle his fucking liquor. But we then get into how John and Lorena met, and this is what he has to say.
When I met Lorena, she was beautiful. Met her at the Marine Corps ball, was dressed up in a really nice outfit, dress blues. She was really wearing a pretty dress, and she had a very sweet smile, and she had a cute accent, and she barely speak English, but, you know, exchanged numbers. My parents told me not to marry her and let her go back to her country, and if she comes back, and maybe that was meant to be, but I didn't listen.
Your parents said what? Your parents said that let her go back to her own country? Red fucking flags everywhere. John, this doesn't make you look better. This doesn't make your family look better at all. Like, you guys were not meant to be from the get. Your parents didn't approve of her at all. And you guys were only together for 10 months before you got married, before he swam to the bottom of a swimming pool, picked up a fucking plastic ring that wasn't even his, that he didn't even purchase. Someone just happened to drop it. It's from one of those, like, little 25-cent spinning things. And put it on her finger. Lorena deserves so much more. And she was so naive that she didn't even know that she could have so much more. Mm-hmm. And once after this trial, I am happy when we get to see her in, like, real time. But she deserves so much better than this piece of shit that couldn't even go out and get her actual ring. And then, let alone after they get married, can't even support her. And I mean, I was like, she's supporting. It was not like she was just like, John, I need for you to pay for everything for me. She went out and got a fucking job, a couple of jobs, and was doing what she had to do. And John couldn't be bothered besides to raise his arm from his fucking, to raise his arm from the fucking cup holder to his mouth so that he can get drunk all day. But anyways, John goes to trial, and Lorena's team knows that they will be up against, like, a lot of things. Like, they're going to have to do some damage control after John pretty much either lies on the stand or what. But we already know he's a pathological liar, so it doesn't really matter. But people from all over the world start to pretty much touch down in Manassas, Virginia, and they have shirts, they got mugs, they have everything, they have underwear, and I'm like, make your coins, ladies.
Even Gay Talese, who is a journalist that we see in a lot of random documentaries, comes out of the woodwork for this one. As soon as he popped up, I was like, oh my god, it's that motherfucker.
Oh my god. But yeah, the media is having a field day with this story. Like, everyone is just, it's just like, it's not even like about the story, it's just about the fact that his penis got cut off. Yeah. No one's actually listening to the shit. I didn't see a shirt that said John Bobbitt is an abuser or Lorena is whatever. It's like no political, not even political. There's like no statements about one or the other. It's just that, it's just stupid puns, But the next thing that we are going to see is just like the media circus and what they had to say.
Is he a drunk, a brute, a batterer who forced sex on a young and fearful wife so many times she finally went over the edge? Or is she a calculating, jealous woman enraged over unsatisfying sex, alleged infidelity, and threats of divorce, with fabricated rape to justify it? Both sides agree guilt or innocence for John Bobbitt will simply come down to whom the jurors believe.
We definitely see this as a trial by media before we get to this point. But now that we're here, it's just
And I mean, I definitely think what the reporter said was, like, very, very, like, straight to the point in what we are actually here for.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is about whether or not this man was an abuser and whether or not Lorena was just in what she did. And I mean, this is something that will set a precedent because this has not really ever happened before. I'm sure it has happened, but I'm sure it hasn't gone to the courts.
Definitely not in the era of court TV.
Oh, either, no.
So.
Not at all. And then we also get to meet some of the jurors. We meet Kenneth, who is basically fucking Augustus Gloop 20 years in the future. Oh, and then we also have Becky with an I.
Becky but, with an I means well, but she's two in her feels.
Yeah, and Kenneth has fucking crazy eyes, but this is what they had to say surrounding the case.
I had gotten a notice to serve for jury duty with Prince William County, and it never dawned on me that the jury for his trial was starting the day that I was supposed to show up for jury duty. So I said, you know, put your big boy panties on and get in there and just deal with life.
Someone said, oh, it'd be really funny if you ended up on that jury. I was like, no, never. And sure enough, yep.
So we find out that the trial will not be televised due to the crime. So nobody, no cameras are allowed. And we get to meet some amazing, like, the sketch artists that were involved in the case as well. Well, not involved in the case, but that were in the courtroom during the trial. And they start off the trial with basically having John come sit on the witness stand and explain what happened before the incident and just his perspective, his lion-ass perspective.
We went hung out and took a few clubs and had a few beers, Budweiser's, and we had what's called the B-52. People think it's a strong drink, but it's not. It's a candy drink. It's a Bailey's, Clue, and Grand Marnier. It's a three-layered shot. It's a candy drink. It's not. Not a lot of alcohol. So we had two of those and two beers and all night long. That's it. I don't know if anybody understands being exhausted and dead tired where like an earthquake couldn't wake you up, you know? I even folded up my clothes. A drunk person up to fold their clothes because my clothes were neatly folded, you know?
We have all seen those types of guys at the bar who do get drunk as hell off of two Budweisers and some bitch drinks.
But a beef, what is it called? B-42?
A B-52?
B-52 shot. That is not a candy drink. That is a full shot of three different liqueurs mixed together. It doesn't really matter whether or not, but you had two of them and you also had beer. John, you were not tired. You were fucked up. You were drunk. I do not believe that you only had four drinks. You had two shots and two beers. That's complete bullshit. You're a fucking alcoholic. We know good and goddamn okay, well.
Or multiply that best, times two. At best, that might have been all he drank at the bar, but what did he drink before he went and what did he drink after he got home?
So John's just, I'm just like, I don't believe anything like that he's saying. You did not fold your clothes. We know Lorena probably folded your fucking clothes.
Or like, why would you feel the need to fold your clothes unless you're trying to hide the fact. I bet
John hasn't done laundry and folly 20 years prior to that. Like, I'm pretty sure he hasn't done his laundry ever. I'm sure Lorena always folded his fucking clothes. And I'm just like, there's no way that you were that tired that after she, like, literally pulled and sliced your dick off that she did not hop up from an adrenaline rush. There's no way in hell you were intoxicated. That's why your body did not react to it. And that's why you laid there for a long period of time, enough for you to gather a pool of blood underneath you. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. And anyways, after that, Lorena is able to take the stand, but we learn that she's not able to actually talk about anything prior, like more than 5 days prior to the incident. So she can only talk about June 18th to June 23rd, which is the night of the incident. So that limits her ability to speak on a lot of the abuse. And this is what she had to say on the stand.
In my mind, I just remember his voice saying that I will follow you no matter where you are, and I can have any kind of sex he wanted with me.
Once Mrs. Bobbitt took the witness stand, she described the incident in detail, breaking into tears at times, how her husband pinned her down, stifled her screams, tore off her clothes.
Afterwards, she said she pushed him away, saying, "How could you do this to me again and again and again?"
For the millionth fucking time, Lorena has to publicly say, he held me down, he raped me, he hit me, he did all of these things. And for the millionth fucking time, they ask her, well, why didn't you tell someone? Why didn't you fight back? Why didn't you do anything? And she has to tell them again for the umpteenth fucking time, it's because I am scared of him. I'm scared that he will hurt me. He is telling me that I will find you if you say something to somebody. This is classic abusive behavior. This is textbook. And if nobody believes her after that, then they sure as hell will believe her when the witnesses start coming out of the woodwork. And I just cannot, I'm just like, I understand it's for the court's purposes, but I'm just like, how many times does she have to tell you? The reason why she didn't leave is because she is afraid of him. She is terrified. That's where the mental abuse comes in, is they're literally going to tell you that if you say something, or if you don't do what I tell you to do, I will kill you and I'll kill your whole family. And they're conditioned over a period of time, because they were together for how long?
4 years.
He had plenty of time to literally brainwash her into thinking that he has full control over her. And I'm pretty sure he probably used his status of being in the Marines as ammunition, saying, I know Marines, I know people in high places, I can get you deported. I'm sure he said all of those things to her. I don't put it past John in any capacity.
No.
And that's just like a little tidbit of just like the fucked up shit, because then we move on to fucking Augustus Gloop Jr. And he's talking about, he's Kenneth the juror, just in case you guys aren't following, but he is talking about Lorena's appearance, and this pisses me off.
Oh my God. He acts like women can't be anything. It's kind of like the Madonna and the whore complex. It's like,
yeah,
women can't have any depth. Somebody either has to be 100% pure and an all white and sitting at attention the entire time in the stand, or they just have to be sloppy. Like,
just play what his disgusting ass had to say.
When I first had my initial vision of her, she seemed very frail. I got this dual conflicting personality thing from her. She wanted to be the victim, but at the same time, she wanted to be a strong woman. She would go from these very simple little housewife dresses, and then there were other days where she would come in and she would have hair and makeup and everything else going on. It was crazy that she would kind of flip-flop back and forth. If you're going to try to get your case won, you should stick to a theme and stay with it, because this way, everybody's confused about what is she really looking for here.
First of all, victims can be strong women, motherfucker.
I cannot believe that people think this way. And even not even just for the 90s. Like, he literally is doubling down and is still agreeing to this present day, that if Lorena would have just picked a side, if she's going to be the innocent, timid, broken woman, or she's going to be a strong bitch that cut off some guy's dick. And I was like, so she can't be both?
Yeah.
She can't overcome her trauma. Yes. She can't overcome her trauma and become a strong woman on the other side of it. She can't have fucking growth.
Yeah.
A bitch can't grow no more. Like, really? It's just, like, this is how people think. This is exactly how people think. And this is exactly why Donald Trump is fucking president. Because people don't think that him saying that he would grab a woman by the pussy is enough to count him out as being president. That's fucked up.
Why would you say something like that? If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck,
it's a fucking duck. And I'm just like,
Donald fucking duck Trump over here.
I'm just like, where is anyone's moral stance? Because that is absolutely disgusting. And I'm just like, all the men or women that agree with that, imagine if that was your fucking daughter. I don't care if you say it's locker room talk, blah blah blah, whatever. The fact that he said it and then also doubled down on it, and people still were in just like agreeing, saying, well, I mean, I guess it's not that bad, he's just a man, you know, he's just talking about it. He's objectifying her and saying that he would grab her by the pussy. He's saying that he will sexually assault this woman. How is that not fucking terrifying?
I hate everything.
It's just ridiculous. And then they go on for 5 more minutes to talk about how the medical examiner had taken, I guess, Lorena's underwear that she was wearing that night. And it said that the rip couldn't have possibly been made with just, you know, ripping it with your hands. You had to have used scissors. And I'm just like, what is that? Like, it doesn't matter. He's been abusing her on and off constantly for the past 4 years.
And you can't get all of that within, because all they were allowed to use, of course, was the 5 days worth of evidence in this case. You cannot get a history, you cannot get an understanding within 5 days.
No, you absolutely cannot. And we get to hear from Becky, and she pretty much kind of sums up a lot of what the jurors were feeling when they were deliberating.
I remember just sitting at that table, and everybody is talking about it around me. And I remember just looking at all of them, and they were all so very... set in how they believed on how it should be.
One of the women that was sitting next to me kept saying in her heart, I just know in my heart that, you know, that he did it. You know, you can't make a vote from your heart. You got to vote with your head, and you got to vote with what's on the table in front of you.
We got pictures of where she, you know, where she threw it, what she used. That was a big sidetrack moment for us. We weren't allowed to discuss anything before or after, really. And then you kind of get hung up on the knife and the what and the everything. And I think that maybe we lost sight of what he truly was on trial for.
Thank you, Becky. Thank you.
And I mean, I also agree with Augustus Gloop for once, just for like this little small moment. He did say that you cannot make a decision with your heart. You have to use the facts and
that's
the evidence.
That's very true.
And that's very true. And I honestly do think that if Lorena's case were to have gone before John's, I think that it would have definitely negatively impacted his case a lot more, and he probably would have been found guilty. But also, there are a lot of things that could have influenced it to go a different way as well. But I definitely think that them having a full consideration of what happened, but even though they would have, you know, John's trial, they still can only consider
5 days.
5 days. It would still be the same. But, you know, they would have picked jurors that will not be influenced by what happened in Lorena's trial. So, the next thing that we come across is my favorite part of this, like, whole entire documentary. John's idiot-ass lawyer is making a statement right after he was found not guilty.
This is, like, the definition of a Freudian slip right here.
John's testimony yesterday was very persuasive. Anybody who's met John and spent time around with John, the one thing that everybody has told me consistently is that he's incapable of telling the truth. Even when it hurts him, he's incapable of telling the truth. I mean, telling straight back.
You need to tell on your client there, buddy.
You heard it right here, folks, right from the horse's mouth. John is completely incapable of telling the truth, even when it benefits him. It's hard for him to tell the truth. Like, say it all. Come on, let it out.
Go ahead.
Let it
tell
out.
Us how you really feel. You got your check.
Exactly. He's just like, I have to let it slip. I can't just hold this in. I can't hold this in
that
anymore.
That was totally Freudian and subconscious, and I don't know, things like that usually...
But I'm glad that he was able to say that so people can, you know, realize that some shady shit's probably going on behind the scenes. But that was pretty much the end of John's trial, and we're on to the next. We're on to Lorena's trial, and we are introduced to a lot of people that are going to be on her defense team, and things about to go down. Like, John is about to, like, have his whole world turned upside down.
What I remember very clearly is after John's acquittal, my secretary said, I've gotten several phone calls from a lady with an accent. Lorena came in and she sat across from me. She said, I don't know what to do. We went to court. Things did not turn out as I expected. And I think everybody thinks that I'm a very bad person and that I didn't tell the truth and I did a horrible thing to my husband. And she says, I really don't know which way to go from here.
The first person that we meet is Blair Howard, which is Lorena's defense attorney. Like he said, his secretary basically was just like, she is blowing up your phone, you need to get back to her. And he's willing to represent her, and he fully, fully believes her, because just the way that she has come to him, and like she's explaining her story to him, and she just, you know, seems very innocent, because she's just like, I told my story, but he was still found innocent. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do now, because Lorena literally thought that if she just tells her side of the story that everyone will believe her, but she also knew that people would not believe her. But she thought that if I tell the truth, then something will come of it, and she's now needing help.
It's so rare in the United States a penis is severed like this, but my understanding is that in Latin America, and that's where Lorena Bobbitt is from, it's not all that rare.
People were talking about my background. They keep saying I was just a hot-blooded Latina woman.
She is a jealous wife, an angry Ecuadorian immigrant whose American dream of the good life has been destroyed.
It hurts my heart. It hurts my brain. It hurts my whole body.
We then get to catch up on what John is up to. So he moves to the middle of nowhere, Colorado, opens up a ranch with his brothers, and they raise cattle, cows, whatever the fuck people do on ranches. And he's pretty much living his best John Wayne life. And he
possessed him to start getting on horses after getting his dick cut off. Who knows?
And I mean, he acquires a girlfriend, bless her fucking heart, and hopefully she gets away from him.
She does. He talks about it later. He's like, oh, yeah. I wish I would have stayed with her. I'm like, I wonder if she feels the same.
Oh, yeah. And John's lawyer wants John to basically sit the fuck down. He thinks that the ranch is a great idea, but John is just constantly itching to get off of the ranch. He goes to a Hooters competition, like, to see who looks the most like John Wayne Bobbitt, and he's like, I'm going to enter the competition. I think I'm going to win. Motherfucker, you are John Wayne Bobbitt. The fuck are you talking about? Of course. You just want an excuse, just like the people that can't sit at home for COVID-19. You just want an excuse to get out of the fucking house for no goddamn reason. Mm-hmm. So John is doing that. Meanwhile, Lorena is pretty much gearing up for her trial. And the jokes are not stopping at all. There's like a montage of like SNL and like David Letterman and like a bunch of other late night what are they called? Late night shows. TV hosts or whatever, just like talking and making fun of her and like saying she's her girlfriend or like whatever, and just like a bunch of like asinine comments that are just unnecessary. But I hope that these people like continue to make their jokes, because they're gonna eat their fucking words after Lorena pretty much lays it all out there.
Not only her, just all these people just show up and they're like, so this is what I saw, this is what I heard.
Yeah, and I mean, because I mean, obviously we now know after years and years and centuries of this shit happening to women that we're not credible unless we have a gang of people behind us. Even if we do have a gang of people behind us, we're still not as credible as one man's refutal. Mm-hmm. But they pretty much, the media starts attacking her culture and like calling her a hot-blooded Latino, and apparently in South America it's common to chop guys' penises off and things like that. And I'm just like, where the fuck are you guys getting this information from? Like, this is super fucking racist.
Like, wow,
and this
is really cringe. Yeah, I wish Snopes was a thing back in 1993. Like,
but yeah, like, it's just like super uncalled for. Like, you don't need to make these comments about her or her culture. You don't know her. Just, and they're like, she's an Ecuadorian immigrant, and this is like what they're bringing to America and shit. And I'm like, I just don't have time for any of this bullshit.
No, because John Wayne Bobbitt was a homebred, born and raised
abuser.
Idiot. Yes.
An abuser. Lorena's trial was slated for December 23rd, but they pushed it back to January 10th because they wanted people to be able to view it, and they wanted the most views. At first, I was just like, this is really fucked. I mean, no, it's still fucked up. It's really shitty. But at the same time, I want every single person, and they said 60% of America was tuning into this case. I need all of those people to look at this case, listen to what she says, and open their fucking ears and open their minds that these things do exist. Yes, you can be abused by your husband. Yes, you can be raped by your husband. It doesn't just because you marry him doesn't mean that he owns you and that you're his property. There are a lot of hot topics that need to be talked about in this whole entire case, and it brings it up, but people are just focused on a man losing his penis, and he didn't even lose it. It got reattached.
Yeah,
in less than like 2 hours. So I understand the sensationalism around it because it's like a spectacle, but at the same time, like, we need to really focus on why and what was the motive and what happened. What did he do to her? What did she do to him? XYZ. We need to really focus on what's important here. But this is pretty much the point where we're going to get Lorena's perspective, and she's just going to lay it out. We already know what's going on. But before Lorena is able to have her child, John goes on to Howard Stern. Howard Stern is honestly scum. I think he's a little bit better nowadays, but he back then for sure.
Yeah, was 90s like, Howard Stern is ultimately
awful
scum.
Awful person. But he has a fundraiser for John Bobbitt, and he is one of the hostess, and they have a giant fucking dick, and I mean a giant dick with all the details, veins and everything, and they have this poor woman. I hope she sees herself in this document, or has seen herself after this,
yeah,
and thought, wow, like, I'm really, 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 really dumb for doing this. She's in a bikini, and she's, like, rubbing this giant fucking dick, and as more money pours in, because people donated $109,000 to this man, because John, of course, has hospital bills and all that shit, but they donated $109,000 to him.
$109,090.
Yes, which is probably about $350,000, maybe $400,000 today.
Who knows? Math
it's
is
a
not
lot.
My strong suit.
But yeah, like, she's literally rubbing this giant dick, and at the end, whenever they pretty much end the telethon, it shoots out white confetti. This is so fucking tacky. This is so ratchet. This is so fucking ratchet that but it's Howard Stern. Like, what much more can we possibly expect from him?
I just can't deal with this.
I just can't believe people actually
donated money.
$109,000?
I can't.
That's a lot of fucking money. But after that, John pretty much went on tour before the trial, doing radio, TV, anyone that would give him attention. Of course, like, all the women were just like, unfortunately, a lot of women were fawning over him. And a lot of men were just like, we feel your pain. She's such a bitch. You know, your ex-wife's a bitch. Like, you know, like, she's crazy and all sorts of stuff. And he's just like, yeah, I'm glad that people are actually able to see this now. I'm not the crazy one. She's the crazy bitch. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is just so disgusting that people are praising him, but I'm just like, just wait until she gets on that stand. I hope all of you eat your words and all of you feel terrible about it, except for fucking Augustus Gloop. He doesn't feel bad about anything in his life ever. But, you know, Lorena's attorney is deciding that they should go with the insanity plea. I mean, she faced a tremendous amount of abuse by the hand of her husband for the past 4 years. And, I mean, honestly, I don't think that this is something that is normal in her character, of course. A lot of people describe her as a very frail, small, like, you know, quiet woman, very nice, like, very sweet, a little naive. But, I mean, that's just because of the culture difference and the language barrier. She's just, you know, living her life. She's a very sweet person. She doesn't have a malicious bone in her body, but and there are a lot of people that are that are very timid and very nice and sweet. They can only handle so much before they fucking snap. Everyone has their limit. And John Wayne beat on her for 4 whole years, and she reached her limit, and this is where we are now. But Lorena says that she doesn't want to take any plea deals, because they offer her a plea deal just to, like, basically get this over with.
Yeah.
They're like, we're tired of talking about this. You know, let's move on. Of course, the court system is just, like, trying to get things handled as quickly as possible and swept under the rug. But she's like, I'm not going to take a plea deal because
I have a valid case. Going to listen to me.
I have a valid case. And on top of that, she's not a U.S. citizen yet. It will affect her getting her U.S. citizenship if she's convicted of a felony. And they were basically offering her, like, 4 years. And she's like, I'm not going to let John Wayne motherfucking Gacy Bobbitt, you know, ruin my chances of becoming an American citizen. And we learned that she has had a dream of moving to America since she was, like, 15 years old. She said that instead of having a quinceañera party, she mostly just wanted to have a trip to go to the U.S. And she fell in love with the United States, and she got a student visa after she graduated high school and was, like, doing college stuff here. She lived with the Castro family. And, you know, like, they basically took care of her. She didn't know much English. She used soap operas and, like, The Price is Right and The Wheel of Fortune to learn how to speak English. So Lorena is a very driven person. Like, she had her dreams. She you know, sought out getting to America, and she was able to do that. She didn't marry John Wayne Bobbitt for a fucking green card. She married him because she actually thought he was nice and that he was a lovely person.
And I think the fact that he was a Marine and he was this and he was that. He was her just parents a very also, American dude.
Yeah, you know? She wanted an all-American. She wanted to live the American dream. And I mean, he's an all-American dude. And her parents were very happy that she was getting married to a, you know, United States citizen because they wanted her to have a great life. She didn't really come from a lot of riches and like a lot of money. So they just kind of figured that, you know, if my daughter, that archaic fucking shit, if my daughter marries off to a rich, probably white man, then she'll be taken care of for the rest of her life. Little did they know that this was going to happen. But we do learn from the Castro family that there were some family members that did not like him. They thought that he was a bit of an asshole. And on top of that, that he was pretty abusive. And they said that every time they would go out to eat, Lorena would end up paying because he forgot his wallet. And I was like, oh, hell no. We would have broken up immediately. As soon as you pulled that shit the second time.
He would have been washing dishes.
The first time, I probably wouldn't give a shit. Like, honestly, it's just money. If you're going to pay for my dinner, I'll pay for your dinner. I don't really give a shit about gender roles. And, oh, a man has to pay for the dinner every single time. I got money, bitch. I'm going to prove to you that I can feed myself and I can live my life without having some man pay for everything that I need. Like, no. So it's the day of the trial, and John is called onto the stand, and he is doubling, tripling, quadrupling down. He is denying every allegation of abuse and rape. He's like, well, I didn't rape my wife. She's my wife. Like, I would never put my hands on her. I'd never do this to that her. I'd never do that to her. And I'm like, you are such full of shit. But Lorena's lawyer does let her know that she is able to use literally the whole entire marriage as evidence for her case of abuse. She doesn't have to just be limited to the 5 days prior. So this definitely helps her out. And he's just like, this is your moment. Like, I can't help you, but I want you to get on that stand, tell your story, and I'm not going to coach you. Like, I'm not going to give you any type of leeway. People just need to hear it from you. And we open up with the prosecution and the defense giving their opening statements. And this is just a little snippet of what they had to say.
A case about a young, petite, delicate, and naive woman who, for 4 years, the evidence will show, suffered extreme brutality, which included things such as rape, beatings, and threats of more violence.
After you've heard all this, you will believe that there is no justification for taking law in her own hands and that she acted in anger or out of revenge. And under your oath, it is your duty to find her guilty and fix her punishment.
The evidence will show that at the time when Lorena Bobbitt cut off her husband's penis, she was a battered woman. It was his penis from which she could not escape, which caused her the most pain, the most fear, the most humiliation. And I submit to you that at the end of this case, you will come to one conclusion. And that is that a life is more valuable than a penis.
The prosecutor is pretty much just like, you know, you guys got to convict her, and I hope that you guys decide to punish her because what she did was wrong. And the defense, she is giving us like the full perspective that we need. Lorena attacked the instrument that was causing her the most harm. He was constantly raping her over a 4-year period.
Beyond she that, suffered too, physical, mentally,
yeah, mentally
he was just breaking her.
Yeah,
down.
He was hitting her, like all kinds of stuff. And she was, you know, going to work with bruises and all kinds of shit. And she literally attacked the instrument that was causing her the most pain. And like the defense attorney said, you will realize by the end of this that a life is more important than a penis. When you really look at things, she did the least amount of harm to him, honestly, compared to all the shit that he did to her. And she couldn't get away. She was at a disadvantage. And even now, like, when she went to the cops, she was at a disadvantage. She didn't know what she was getting herself into. She didn't know that by speaking her truth, that will just put her on trial and people are going to assume that she is a terrible person, that she's a hot-blooded Latina, and that all Ecuadorians chop off their man's penis when they wrong them. Like, who comes up with this bullshit? But this is going to be the moment where people are actually really opening their eyes and they're going to turn against John Wayne Bobbitt Gacy.
Basically.
And he, you know, he deserves every bit of scrutiny that he is about to get, because I can't believe he went around to multiple news stations and spun this story that Lorena was just crazy, that she was jealous because he was wanting to get a divorce from her, and that she was jealous that whenever he would get a job at a bar, that she would be flirting with men and not, ooh.
Well, who knows?
My bad, that he'd be flirting with women and that she can't trust him, that she'd have to spy on him. And I'm just like, she doesn't trust you for multiple reasons. And honestly, I don't blame her. Yeah. Like, she's not a jealous woman because she's just like, that's just like in her nature. No, like, you've made her go to this point, take it to this level where she can't trust you. She doesn't want to be around you. Your family members also are in agreement that, you know, she's abusive when she's the one that's just defending herself. Like, you antagonize her and push her buttons and constantly put her down. What did you think was going to happen? You thought she was going to take it for the rest of her life? Ugh. Well, you were fucking wrong.
This is just so much. And, like, we're only halfway through episode 2 at this point. But tune in. Our next episode will be finishing up episode 2 of Amazon's Lorena.
Yes.
We'll be getting into Lorena's trial, which is absolutely going to blow everything you thought you knew about this out of the water.
For sure. And we'll be getting into, you know, what happens to John after the trial and all of those wonderful things that are terrible for him, but justice for Lorena. But stick around for our next episode, and we will talk to you guys later.
Also, follow us on social media. I know we beg every time, but you know where we're at. High Times for True Crime. Bye!